I'm Amanda, and I'm a meeting planner.
Hi, I'm Daryl, and I'm also a meeting planner.
And this is Miracle Workers, a podcast for meeting planners by meeting planners.
Hey, Amanda, I'm going to need just a few more minutes to get ready for today's show, okay?
Ah, Daryl, did you forget to plug in your headphones again?
No, I got those set and my microphone's on, and I even remember what day it was. The problem is I just need to make sure that all of my hand sanitizer stations are full and that my social distance floor decals are exactly 6 feet apart.
Ah, those are good things to do, especially as we start planning for our 2021 meetings, including some of which, fingers crossed, may be
in person.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited just thinking about it. Yes.
All right. Well, while the rest of us keep our heads together, and as we get towards the end of the year, look, we're really focusing on looking forward and trying to figure what 2021 is going to hold. But we need to make sure that we're ready to welcome back the in-person meeting as close to what it was as we remember, or at least part of some of that as we maybe we're switching to hybrid models.
Yeah. Well, and that is what today's show is all about. We have a trio of very talented, forward-thinking planners lined up who have designed a course to get meetings and event professionals ready to implement new safety protocols that have emerged, so that when we do get on site in our, wait for it, face-to-face meetings.
Boom.
So excited, face-to-face meetings. I mean, I know it might be a while, but still, anyway. So when we get into those face-to-face meetings, we can make sure that we're taking all the reasonable and responsible steps to keep our attendees safe during the pandemic.
Yeah, but you know, I heard the news about yesterday, and of course, when you hear this, it'll be a couple days old, but you know, I heard the news yesterday about the vaccine coming out, so we don't have to worry about, you know, keeping our distance anymore and wearing masks. Isn't that's over, right?
You're so cute. Yeah, it's very exciting news for sure, but I hate to be the bearer of the bad news, but it's not the end. So first of all, yes, they said 90% effective, but you know, a lot of people have to get it. I'm not sure you read the fine print where it says like it has to be kept at literally something like negative 40 degrees. And it's probably multiple doses for each individual. It's a lot. So it leaves a lot of unknown space, you know, for our attendees to get sick. And we don't want to take any chances.
That's a fair point. And just to be, you know, perfectly clear, I don't actually ever read the terms of service on anything that I sign up for. So I would easily see how I can miss the fine print there. I guess I just got my hopes up a little too much.
Oh, so sorry. I guess I really am just here to crush your enthusiastic spirit.
Well, yes. And again, what you can't see in an audio podcast is my head hanging very low, or my receding hairline. But I do know at least one thing that I can be optimistic about.
Oh, that's nice. What is it?
Well, that sponsors are still here to support our show. See how that's called that in the business. That in the business is called a segue.
Oh, a segue.
A segue. It's not. It's. I can't spell it, but it is pronounced a segue.
Oh, is it the kind you ride? Because I was meeting once. It was really fun.
Not the future of transportation. It never actually happened. But listen, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with our guests. We're going to talk about the new pandemic compliance advisor course. So hang tight, and we'll be right back.
Okay, we're back. And Daryl, who do we have joining us today?
Well, I'm going to tell you, but first, I think that's pretty much the way we did the last show. So it's very possible that we might be using an old script. So if anybody hears any references to Derek Johnson in this one, you'll know where that comes from. See, I got it in. It only took 10 minutes, but I got it into the show.
Very nice. I'm going to say it right now. Derek Johnson, Derek Johnson, Derek Johnson.
And we encourage all three of our wonderful guests today to mention the name of Derek Johnson.
Have work whenever you can.
Yes, of course. So first things first, we want to welcome back for the first time ever in Miracle Workers history, and that history being just, you know, 10 months old, we want to welcome back our first ever repeat guest. Yes, that's right. You loved her in episode number 8, Let's Get Virtual. we love her all the time.
Yeah.
It is the one, the only, Heather Shiholtz from the, who's now, new title, Director of America's Operations at the Drug Information Association. Heather, welcome back. It's been since May. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for having me back.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, it is a pleasure to be back. And you are very nice to bring two of your wonderful colleagues with us. We have Shannon Majewski. Did I get that right? Did I butcher that?
You got it right.
See, this is why I should stick to last names. I was fine with first names. I was fine with Alex. I got that right. All right. Shannon is the education coordinator at the Department of Pathology with the Medical College of Wisconsin. Welcome, Shannon.
Thank you so much.
And last but least only in alphabetical order is Mary Ann Urbanovich. Mary Ann is a consultant extraordinaire. And what you don't know is that she is way, way too smart to have taken this guy up on an offer to teach a free course. She said, absolutely not. I'm not getting suckered into it. Mary Ann, it's a pleasure to speak to you again. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Daryl. Nice to be here with you guys.
Well, thank you all for joining us so much. Welcome. And of course, I'm always happy when it's all of us ladies against Daryl. So good job. But really, I'm excited because I'm ready for you to help educate all of us. And by all of us, I really mean me. This is really just all about me today. So I need help. Please, ladies, help me.
I think what Amanda's trying to say in her own very unique way, air quotes for those of you not watching at home, is, you know, we all know COVID's a problem, and we all know the toll it's taken on a lot of different fields, particularly our industry and meetings and events. But why this course? I mean, we've got all sorts of guidance all over the place, but why do we need a course for it?
Well, I'm going to start off. The reason we started the course is that we were all looking around for things to do earlier in the year to get back to work. You know, as planners, we want a playbook. We want rules. We want guidelines. We want that blueprint to go forward with. I had sat, and I know Heather had also sat on the COVID compliance officer course that Health Education Services had put together. The premise behind that was in order to get the TV and media back working, LA County said to them, you have to have this role on all of your sets. So they developed a course. You know, we all flex and bend our industry. So we all know somewhat a production area. So we took the course to see what we could get out of it. I was sitting through the course and just, you know, ticking in my head saying, we could do this for our industry. There's so many correlations to it. So I made the initial outreach to Health Education Services, to Juliana Brauner, who is the president, CEO of the organization, and said, you know, this is my thought. Can we do something along that line? And at the same time, I called Heather up and said, Heather, would you jump in with this with me? Because, you know, Heather's well known within the industry and you need that. So we're two planners that just came together. Shannon is someone that we found through one of our Facebook groups, the National Planners Group, and had been asking all the right questions. So I said to her, well, hop on board with us. Would you be willing to come on board? And that's how we got the Three Musketeers here with you today.
Wonderful. So how has the course been received? I mean, you know, we are kind of a pretty tight-knit, though fairly large community of meeting planners. You know, have folks been interested? Have they, you know, are they seeking this kind of information? How has that gone?
I think extremely well so far. We've really only had two official classes. We had a beta class where it was invite only of people that we knew in the industry. We really wanted to make sure it was a nice cross section of our industry as well, like CVB, hoteliers, meeting professionals, event professionals, audiovisual, DMC. We had corporate, we had associations. So that first class gave us some feedback for us to go into our first two paid classes through Health Education Services. And we had almost 200 participants in each of those classes. Plus we're almost at 150 for our next one, which is on Friday. And really this has become a grassroots effort. I mean, it's the three of us that are promoting via social media, and then those that take the class and get their certificate are then posting their certificates to social media, which we then share and comment on. So really it's been from the bottom up. There's no marketing campaign behind it except for three passionate people that are wanting to get back to work and want to meet face to face again and are willing to spend our time doing it.
Yeah. Well, those are amazing numbers for something so new. Really, so obviously there is a demand out there. Has it been all domestic folks that you've had attending, or have you had international attendees as well?
I believe we did have a couple.
We've had some Canadians.
Canadians aren't really international. I mean, that's, you know.
Well.
No, I'm kidding. Marianne, I'm just joking. We love our Canadian audience here at Miracle Workers.
They weren't allowed to vote. They might have wanted to vote in our election, but they weren't allowed to. Maybe they did. Who knows? Anyway, we did have a few people reach out to us via social media and ask if we thought they would gain anything from it. And as you know, as long as you can connect the dots and transfer skill sets, I think there's many people that can get things out of this class. But the thing is to realize that, as we all know in the meetings industry, nothing is ever cookie cutter. Right. So we are not just handing you the playbook and saying, take this and run with it. There's still going to be a lot of work on the person, on an organization, on the planner, on the PC, the pandemic compliance advisor, to move forward.
So that's interesting. Is that a particular role that you're outlining for an organization to have as a pandemic, what did you call it? Pandemic control advisor. Did I get it?
Compliance advisor. Yes, absolutely. I mean, when we run a meeting as a meeting professional, you're already strapped. You're running in many different directions. And the scenario that we provide during the class is such that, you know, you're troubleshooting and then all of a sudden somebody comes up to you symptomatic. You can't be pulled in both directions at the same time. So in order to, you know, make sure you provide your duty of care, you have to allocate somebody to that specific position.
Yeah, that makes perfectly good sense. Do you have to have any kind of particular medical training or background, or could really somebody go through the class and be, you know, be competent enough, trained enough to take on that position?
Yes, absolutely. After taking the class, you should be competent enough, but you do have to continue to update yourself. And again, provided we aren't encouraging people to do on-site testing. So this is not about testing. This is about perhaps you're doing some screening, but testing is left to other professionals.
That's good, because I think if we gave him the job of putting the swabs up the nose, I think people would be a few less brain cells.
I was going to say, I'll bring you back some samples. So listen, the on its face, it makes perfect sense. And I love the idea, right? Got somebody who's only focused on keeping everybody at the meeting safe and making sure that everybody is in compliance with the rules. The problem that I see is that the goalposts keep changing. The goal line keeps changing. The posts keep getting moved farther and farther back, right? Sometimes we get some rollbacks, some openings. When now we've been in a period here where the last couple months cases have spiked all over the country. Today in Maryland, for example, the governor just announced they were rolling back some of the openings and going back into a little bit closer to a phase one situation. So how does the course keep up with not only, you know, new changes in the disease state, changes in the infection rate and changes in the guidance, but also, you know, guidance that changes from location to location and locale to locale?
we look at it and we take a hard look at duty of care. And that duty of care should be instituted and looked at for each program. So that someone's going to need to check with their organization, check with their association, whoever their client is for the meeting, and really do their due diligence. I mean, just because you go through a course doesn't mean that you could put it all in action. So there's still all the other work. We are constantly reading daily now about whatever's happening in the industry, and we've put together resources. So once you're done the course, there's a whole resources page that is made available to you. It's CDC guidelines in there. It's a link to as many states as we can, spreadsheets that have states all looked up so that you can go to one location and find your state and find the guidelines, because they're ever changing. And that's one of the things about the pandemic compliance advisor. That's what their role is. Their role is to be the researcher. They don't have to be the extrovert. They can be the introvert that goes ahead and is keeping up to date on all of the documentation that's going on and feeding it to the planner. And the planner can be the voice of the meeting still.
It sounds like an introvert. Sounds like a role for me.
Amanda, that's your call.
She's not my supervisor.
No, I only boss around just here on the podcast. Nowhere else.
Those resources we are constantly updating as well. I mean, most mornings we are connecting with one another on what the latest thing we read has been. And I think that's how a lot of us ended up in this place to begin with. I mean, I took the same course through Health Education Services, the COVID compliance officer for the meeting or for the film industry. And then I also took the Johns Hopkins course on contact tracing. I will never be a contact tracer, but I wanted to understand the process enough to be able to implement it in my own meetings. So this wasn't just about wanting to, it wasn't just about wanting to get back to work. It was really this altruistic drive about wanting to make our meetings a safe place to be.
So aside from the resources, or I guess really my question is, do you all have a hard time finding the information, making sense of it? Because again, just as Daryl referenced a few minutes ago, you know, things change and they change so quickly. And like, gee, Daryl and I both live in Maryland and I hadn't even heard that there were changes announced today. So aside from using you all as a resource, how easy is it for a planner to access that information, and who should they be going to? Let's say not even in their own state, because many of us don't hold meetings in our own state. We hold meetings mm-hmm. in other states. So how is it that we can find that information for ourselves?
I think so many times we need to rely on our CVBs and our vendor partners in the cities, because we're coming to a city and the audience that we're bringing could impact the residents, the people that are working in the facilities that we're in. So again, it still comes back to duty of care, but because it is changing so often, that is part of what we talk about. We can't know every city. Like Orlando is a little different than the state of Florida, which is a little different than Atlanta and Georgia, which is next door. So we can't speak for every state in the United States, and nor can we speak for every city, but we can provide the resources to go there and give the questions that they should be asking along the way. The information that's coming in that we put into the resources is information that's nationwide. So is it new information coming out from the CDC? Is it the top five questions you should ask if you're doing a hybrid event or an event in a hotel? So things along those lines that we are many times it's matching what our content is already. Thankfully, because Health Education Services, Julianne that Marianne mentioned, is a nurse. So we do have the healthcare profession behind us helping us with that content and what the guidelines are. And they're based in California, which has been pretty much on the conservative side of approaching this in a very safe way. So that's kind of been how we've approached it. And I know we've said it three times now, but duty of care is really what we're asking the planners and the PCAs to keep in mind as we bring people back together until there's a vaccine that's readily available and that not just first responders have. We have to plan properly and we have to plan safely if we're going to try to bring groups back together again.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the vaccine, Heather. You know, something we were, Amanda and I were talking about in the open of the show. I mean, I heard the vaccine came out and of course I got really excited, and then the logistics portion of my brain kicked in and said, well, wait a minute, it's going to take a long time to get enough for everybody to know where we can feel safe here. But does a bit of news like the vaccine come around and does that change things, or are we, should we still be preparing the same meeting that we were preparing last week before any of this news broke? Or before, even, but honestly, even before an election, right? In the election, we don't wade into politics here, but we do, I think we have to recognize that the result of the election may change the course of guidance that we are getting on keeping safe with the pandemic.
Well, it's a really, really good question. And it was actually how we went about naming the course. This isn't just about COVID in our minds. This is about the fact that reoccurrence is possible at any point. And so we know that the virus with the vaccine, whenever it's implemented, is going to be dispersed first by those people who need, to those people that need it most. And then as it becomes more widely available to the more general population. But incrementally, as we start to get back to things, we will still need to put some of these measures into place. And our meetings are going to look different for a very long time, I think. In addition to that, we wanted to be prepared should there be another pandemic not too far behind it. It's not an anomaly.
This year
is an anomaly, but a pandemic in general is not an anomaly.
We would like, though, to think that it is an anomaly. And let's hope we don't have another one anytime soon. I just can't take it. Anywho, okay, rant aside. But you have mentioned duty of care several times. For those who are planners and who don't quite understand what that means, what does that mean for me as a planner, for my meeting, et cetera? Can you define that a little bit for us and describe what duty of care means?
Well, let me just read you the definition because I don't have it memorized. How's that? And I'm pulling this from EIC, which is the Event Industry Council, which has an APEX task force that is looking at they brought global leaders together to bring the industry back, or hopefully as soon as we can get back. And this is from one of their papers. Duty of care is the legal obligation which is imposed on an individual or group requiring adherence to a standard of reasonable care while performing any acts that can foreseeably harm others. So that's a mouthful. And it talks about duty of care being everyone's responsibility. There's responsibilities for the planner itself. There's responsibilities for your individual, that would be your attendees, your stakeholders, your organization. And there's also responsibilities for all of those that you work with, your vendors, the airlines, the hoteliers, your DMCs, your CVBs, whoever you may be interacting with. There's rules for them. And then we look at it from four different aspects. We look at a duty to research, to really, look at your goals and objectives, make sure that you know that it's a viable reason you're still having this meeting. Duty inform everybody and to tell them what's going on, how you're gonna be protecting them or what steps you're taking. Duty to recommending that this is how we're going to be doing it because you know the ways and you've researched the best practices. And then duty to plan, and isn't that what we all do? We plan and we plan some more.
Sure. We've said duty a lot. Just say that.
Well, you know.
I have a question. How would Derek Johnson feel about us saying
no, no. We're not going to drag Derek into this. Listen, Marian, that's actually really interesting. But, you know, I go back to my CMP days. And don't we have a basic duty of care? I mean, isn't that part of risk management, right?
Like for everything.
Right. Yes. So it's mm-hmm. it's interesting. It's always good to reinforce, but I mean, it's something that we as planners should be focusing on. Shannon, exactly right, for everything, not just for the pandemic, but I mean, you know, is the temperature of the food, you know, appropriate? Not that we're having buffets anytime soon, but you know, is the temperature of the food that's brought to our table, is it cooked appropriately? Is, you know, are we, you know, are we watching the wiring to make sure that it's not going to be a fire hazard, you know, and a trip hazard? So it's good to, it's a great reminder for planners everywhere to think about that. But let's talk about, I want to take this class. Amanda's got a question. Go for it.
Yeah, two.
Better than my questions. You're better off listening to her.
2 points about duty of care. So does this then require some action on the attendees' part to kind of do their part in terms of duty of care? Are you recommending that we're asking them to do something above and beyond what they would normally do to attend a conference?
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, we strongly suggest that the planners prepare a code of conduct for COVID-19 specifically, so that people understand what those expectations are before even registering for a conference. And that's, you know, not only to keep your organization more free of liability, but of course to keep everybody safe at the conference or meeting.
Great. I that's code of conduct. That was easy. And I think that is pretty, I think we can all agree to that. And how about your vendor partners, your hotel, your places, basically where I'm having a contract with them? Am I writing in a duty of care clause now to various contracts that I'm negotiating?
I don't think we're necessarily looking at a full duty of care clause, but there's going to be expectations. You're going to have expectations for what your sanitation schedule is and how you're working it. How are you working with your staff? What are you doing? What's your health screening process? So all of that, I think, needs to be disclosed in your contracts. I'm taking a certificate course, and it happened to be last night. And I actually, the person that was on the call speaking was a lawyer. And I asked him, they were talking about litigation. And I asked him about duty of care. And he goes, duty of care is going to be your best friend during all of this. And the code of conduct too. And, you know, knowing that we're ever changing in the climate, and Daryl just said, you know, your state is going a little bit stricter right now, but what we can do is be proactive and get these things ready, because there's going to be one day when somebody walks in your office or somebody picks up the phone and calls you and say, hey, we're ready. And if you don't have these things ready, aren't you going to be behind the eight ball?
Very good point. Yes. And maybe while we do have some downtime, although anybody producing a virtual meeting knows that this is a whole different ball of wax, and maybe we don't have a lot of downtime, but if you happen to find yourself with some downtime, now is certainly the time to educate yourself. So as you said, Marianne, you're not behind the eight ball in that. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, Daryl, I'm kicking it back to you. Ask your question.
Well, thank you, Amanda. I appreciate that. No, so now you got my interest. Okay, you mentioned duty, which is one of my favorites, and also contracts and legality. And you know, I had any kind of patience, I could have either been a doctor, get it, patience, doctor, right? Or I could have been a lawyer.
You ladies see what I put up with? You see? Come on.
I've been waiting. That's a good, listen, that patient's doctor joke's a good one. I've been waiting for that for a while.
We're glad we could help.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. And, you know, Shannon, you know, we both work at medical institutions. So, you know, this is good. But no, I mean, so now I'm ready. I want to take the course. All right. What am I looking at? First of all, I guess two questions. When's the next one? And what's the, is there certification? Because, you know, like everybody, we're trying to either get our CMP or we're trying to recertify. What are we talking about here?
Yeah, so the next course is Friday, November 13th at 1 p.m. Eastern time.
Is there still time to sign up for that?
Absolutely, okay. Absolutely. It is 3 hours long. You do get 3 EIC credits, so towards your CMP for that event, for participating in that. Also, as a participant, not only are you becoming a PCA, a pandemic compliance advisor, but we look at it as a twofold approach. You're becoming the PCA that can then be hired by another meeting professional, or you're the meeting professional who knows that they need to hire the PCA when they're on site. So really we are approaching the education twofold to not just become one, but also reasons why you should hire one. So we're doing that. And then I think our next one is December 9th, I believe is the date. And then we'll hopefully be announcing more dates soon.
All right, great. And now one more hard question, and I'm gonna give you and then we're gonna give you the easy question to get you guys out of here. And I said the guys thing again. Amanda,
it's a learning process. You're doing good. You're okay.
Trying to all of our guests. Yes. And again, if you haven't heard the last episode, go back and listen to episode 17 because it makes a whole lot of sense. All right. Tough question. COVID's over. Okay. COVID's over. Vaccine. We've socially distanced. We've learned the error of our ways. It's gone. We're done. We're back to normal. What's the PCA's role? What do they do? That was the question. Go ahead and answer.
That was the question. Okay. So the question is, I mean, there's nothing to do until we kind of roll into that next scenario that there is another pandemic, but those resources, and that was the entire point of naming it pandemic compliance advisor, is so should the time arise again that we need to we need to move ahead with this role, people understand where to find those resources in order to update themselves. So this is not just strictly about knowing about COVID-19. This is about knowing where to go to get resources to educate yourself on, and there's a lot of them, how to keep yourself current on this pandemic, because certainly not every pandemic transmits the same. That is the role.
Maybe
hibernation for a little while.
and to piggyback on that a bit, I think also, even though the pandemic may be over, you know, hopefully when we get to that point, we still have flu, and some of the same principles that we're talking about in the pandemic compliance advisor, as far as disinfecting and sanitizing and keeping equipment clean and wiping things down, that stuff's going to carry over, and that's universal. So again, for many of us, we have meetings in the winter, in the very early spring when flu is still prevalent, that not just does it come to pandemic, but we want to keep all of our attendees healthy no matter what when they're attending our program, because a flu outbreak can just as badly impact and knock people down as much as a pandemic at times, depending on how close that group is, how close they're sitting, how are we serving food, how are we cleaning up a microphone that somebody's already been talking on, things like that, that still carries over outside of a pandemic.
I think that's very true. Yeah. And I think it's something that maybe is more on the forefront of our minds now that we've been through this.
I was just about to say that, Shannon. I don't think we really focused on the flu before, but I think there has been a lot more attention brought to it. And hopefully we will be healthier as a society because of the focus. And again, if we as planners in our mass gatherings can help be people, you know, help stop the spread of the flu, then we'll all be better for it.
Absolutely.
I think too, there are some things that are going to never change, that we're going to be instituting, that are going to be there forever. Are people going to be having sanitizer, hand sanitizer on registration desks, in meeting spaces, things like that moving forward? I think that's something that's going to stay with us, whether or not we're in a pandemic situation or not. I know myself, I was doing it 3 years ago. I was taking hand sanitizer, especially during the winter months. When you're working within medical and healthcare provider scenario, the reaction you get when you have something like that on a desk before the pandemic was like, thank you. And so, you know, moving forward, I think that's going to be kind of like an expectation to do. So there are going to be some things like that that we're just going to take, it's going to be there. Maybe the code of conduct's going to get a little bit softer. There's going to be pandemic version and then non-pandemic version. But I think a lot of people are going to just need to take to heart a little bit more their responsibility in getting to meetings safely and helping and protecting everyone.
I think those are all fair points. I'm glad that you all had a good answer to a hard question, because my answer would have been, well, we're going to fold up shop and we're going to go to the next town and you're never going to see us again. So I'm always glad that there's a comeback. Listen, let's get you guys. Amanda, do you have anything else? Because I've got one more question for them.
You go with their last question, Darren.
All right. I love this. All right. So next class, we got Friday, November 13th. We've got Wednesday, December 9th. We've got some offerings coming up, hopefully soon in the new year. Where can people go to find out some more information?
They can go to Health Education Services website and search for, you can just do an internet search, Google or whatever your DuckDuckGo or whatever you use for pandemic compliance advisor.
Is it available? Or you can, is it available if I use, what's an extinct search engine? Go Jeeves or
Bing or
web crawler?
Use them all. It's healtheducationservices.net is the website.
Excellent. And do I need the internet for that?
Yes, you do.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. They have that in computers now, I hear.
I heard.
So Heather, Marianne, and Shannon, thank you so much for joining us this week. We appreciate you teaching us more about the Pandemic Compliance Advisor course. We encourage many of you out there listening to go sign up. Not everybody. We want to pace it out so that we don't burn everybody out at once. I think we had 7,000 people, which is our rough listening audience, coming down and into their course. They'd get a little crazy. So let's do it in small batches. But reach out to Heather, Marianne, and Shannon. They're doing great work. We're really proud of you guys for taking something from the ground up. And trust me, Amanda and I know something about taking something from the ground up. And so thank you so much for joining us today. And folks, we are going to be right back after a brief word from these, their sponsors. They may be pandemic related. They may not be. They're sponsors. We'll speak to you a little bit.
And we're back.
You know, I feel like after all this, I think instead of a regular sanitizer bath at the end of the episode, we maybe need a double strength bath this week.
Well, I might recommend that for you most of the time, Daryl, but I don't know that we need to go that far. But no. There was a lot of great information from our guests this week. I'm ready to sign up for that December class. By then, my virtual meetings will pretty much be to bed for the season. So I'm signing up today.
Yeah. Well, I want to know once you take it, I want to know what you think. Sure. You know, I'm thinking about it, but you know, on one hand, I'm kind of COVIDed out. Right. You know, we hear so much about it and we are taking our precautions. We're not letting our guard down, but you know, it just, you need a break. But then on the other hand, I as much as I love virtual meetings, I do want to get back to the face-to-face. And I know that to get everybody back in business that we have to take these precautions.
Yeah, abso-freaking-lutely. I especially liked what they said about ways to use this information after COVID is finally done. You know, I think as we said, the flu is really something that we have every year that we don't pay so much attention to, but now maybe we'll actually help people stay healthier.
That's a good point. And I'm gonna reach back here. Just wait a second, folks. I'm just grabbing some more tissues. Okay. Yeah. That was good. I'm glad we got that out of the way.
It's good we do the podcast. It's a podcast. I don't have to get all your flu-y germ things.
You know, we haven't been together. I don't want to get away too much. We want to wrap this episode up, but we have not been together in person since episode 4, maybe 5. It's been the greater run of the show.
Yeah, it really has. And I do miss you, my friend.
I miss you too. And yeah. I'm looking forward to the day that I can sneeze on you in person. So let's stop talking about sneezing and duty and get to the takeaways.
Oh my goodness gracious. Okay, well, for me, you know, the biggest thing that stood out for me, and I was kind of a little thankful for this because I thought I was going to have to wear yet another hat, and my head can't, I mean, I have a big head, but mostly that's just ego. So for me, I was happy that they were talking about the pandemic compliance advisor. It's not the same as a meeting planner. You have to allocate somebody else to that position. There's way too much going on as a meeting planner to handle all of the regular duties and then be pulled away with someone showing symptoms or not adhering to the guidance or whatever. So, you know, somebody else needs to do that.
Absolutely. And speaking of duty, in this case, in duty of care, it's really the most important thing. And for those of you who have a CMP certification, you know, think back to risk management and doing your due diligence, right? That's what this is. It is very important, and it's something that there's some specialized guidance, but at the same time, you're doing your due diligence to make sure that your attendees, that your exhibitors, speakers, vendors, staff, everybody's being kept safe. You know, make sure you're reading up as much as possible on the latest guidance, and above all, when you are putting in your duty of care statements, so that your attendees and everybody else knows what's going on. You do it in plain language. Make it simple and easy to read, so that people understand what they're signing.
Yeah, absolutely. So I also just want to remind people that, you know, if you want to take the class, like perhaps Derek Johnson does. The next
golly, one. Okay.
See, I slid it right in there.
You know, speaking of lawsuits, I'm fully waiting. Our counsel is standing by for to speak to Mr. Johnson and his counsel.
Cease and desist to come from Derek Johnson.
Hopefully, it comes with a signed 8x10 color glossy photograph.
Ooh, who's gonna get that? You or me? Maybe I'll send
two. Derek, send us two of them.
Derek, okay. Send it two. Yes. The next one is on December 9th, and you can search on healtheducationservices.net to register.
All right. And remember, we talked about this before, but to get the latest guidance, look to your CVB partners, look to local health officials, take into consideration what may change from now when you're planning the course until then, you know, when you show up on site. It's not like Spaceballs. When will then be now? Soon. It could be quite a while, and a lot can change between now and then.
Exactly. And lastly, you know, this isn't just stuff that you're going to learn for the next couple of months or however long. You know, there are some things that most likely won't change. We'll perhaps always keep hand sanitizer on the registration desk, and who knows what's going to happen to buffets. They might all turn into action stations so that, you know, I don't have to eat the scrambled eggs that Daryl just sneezed on in front of me with his flu. So
we don't know it's the flu. listen, Amanda, this
true fact.
Amanda, this has been a awesome episode, but we are getting close to December, and I have to start writing my letter to Santa Claus to bring me everything I want.
Ooh, could you put something on that for me? Please put it on your list for me.
Sure. What do you want?
I want a brand new, shiny, in-person meeting in the first quarter of 2021. That's what I want.
Well, we all know that you'll shoot your eye out with one of those things, but I'm not, there are so many references. I got to tell you that we have so many fairly obscure references, and I hope that our listeners are either old enough or schooled enough to understand most of them. I'm not sure that even Santa is going to be good enough to bring you those meetings, Amanda, but hopefully in his sack somewhere there's something for all of us. And if he can't do it, maybe I can ask my man, Dr. Fauci there. Not my man, Mr. Anthony Fauci. Dr. Anthony Fauci. I don't know him.
You don't want to get a flood of calls with people trying to hook them up with a connection to Fauci. That's a good plan.
If they'd like to, I would love to meet him and talk Brooklyn baseball. But listen, let's also remind people while we're talking about holidays that we do have our upcoming Thanksgiving show, and we would love for all of you to contribute. So head over to our website, and that's anchor.fm/miracleworkerspodcast. There's a button there. It says leave a message. Click on that button. Leave us a message and tell us who you are and what you are thankful for this year. It has been craptastic, sideways, upside down, Pinot Noir. But what are you thankful for this year? There's got to be something. Tell us. Yeah. We want to put it on the show.
So hold on. Wait. Because that was a little confusing. You're saying head to our website and then click the button?
Yes, there's a button on the website.
There's a button.
There's a button.
Click it. Crazy. And, all right.
And then say something into the microphone.
Into the thing, and then we'll get that. And then
we have the internet on computers now. It's amazing.
Put the peoples on the show. But speaking of thankful, we are thankful for the PCMA Foundation Relief Fund. See, that was another one of those segues. Did you see that?
I like this. So segue away.
That is helping all of those in the hospitality industry that have been impacted by COVID. And the Meetings Industry Fund can specifically help meeting planners. We'll include those links down below. And, you know, if you can spare some change, because they don't have the little red drums out, I don't think. So if you could spare some change, please reach out and donate to those funds.
Absolutely. Thanks, Amanda. And we want to remind you, never, ever miss a single episode of this award-winning.
Scintillating.
I think scintillating we can go with.
Did we win an award you didn't tell me about?
Give me a few minutes to drop a certificate and you bet we won an award. Don't miss a single episode though. Head over to anchor.fm, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast style audio materials from. Click the subscribe button, leave us a review, call us on our phones, ask us what our favorite Chinese food item is. We are here for you.
And on that note, by the way, I like fried wontons. That's my favorite thing. I think that's it for this week. Let's do our virtual high five sign off. And you're going to take the double strain sanitizer bath. I'm just going to go have a glass of wine. So
that's one.
I'm going to sanitize from the inside.
That's one tuck, one no tuck. Okay. Thanks for a great episode, Amanda. I'll see you at the next one.
Thanks, everybody.